I think that most people who do clinical trial research really are very acutely aware of the drawbacks of crossover designs. So randomized designs are far preferred, but they're still used for the reasons I mentioned, that recruitment is very difficult and it's often hard to get enough patients to do a randomized design. But I do think that one of the things about our field is that it's bringing people from very different backgrounds. There's a lot of technical people who come into real-time fMRI neurofeedback from engineering or, in my case, computer science backgrounds. Then there's also clinical people who come from a completely different background. You know, each of us has our little areas where we don't know the field on the other side. So for me, you know, I wasn't very familiar with clinical trials. I was worried about all the technical details and how to make sure the feedback we were giving was accurate and was clean, et cetera, and didn't fully appreciate when my clinical collaborator said, "Well, you know, crossover designs aren't the best." Dennis Suhudolsky, for the record, did say when I was putting in the grant application as a crossover design, and I said, "Well, how else am I going to get the patients?" Which, you know, he also acknowledged was a problem. So we ended up going forward with the crossover design, but I think this is a limitation that we really highlight in our time course paper. You know, we don't recommend crossover designs for neurofeedback studies, but if you absolutely have to do one, you want to make sure that the crossover is a very long time after the first leg of the intervention. So, you know, you could give people one leg of the intervention and then 2 months later give them the other. But you don't know when or if symptoms ever stabilize after the intervention. So, in general, we're just avoiding crossover designs.